Essentially, this is a Swedish prize. It's come from Swedish money and handed out by a Swedish private cultural institution, and the groundwork is done by a Swedish-speaking academy. When it comes to literature, I think it actually can be beneficial that it is handed out in a country, a small country with a sort of small language. We are very much dependent on translations. We can never say that we are the world.
I started off interviewing Peter Englund in this rather grand office on the upper floor of the elegant neoclassical building that for years operated as Stockholm's stock exchange. Nowadays it houses upstairs the Swedish Academy and downstairs the Nobel Museum.
The Swedish Academy was founded in 1786, and the king who founded it, he was a bit of a copycat, and he took much of it from the French Academy.
In his will, Alfred Nobel entrusted the Swedish Academy with the task of picking the recipient of the Nobel Prize in Literature.
The idea of the Academy, the National Academy and so on, it's really a sort of feudal institution. Most of the times you only find it in old nation states.
Next door to the office is the Grand Hall, where every year, in October, the latest Nobel laureate is announced. We move to the Lion's Den, because the session room is where the crucial decisions are made.
How it works, really, the Swedish Academy consists of 18 members. You are elected for life. They are authors, poets, they are people from the humanities. We have literary historians, one historian, that's me. We have people who are mainly from linguistics and so on. It's an academy for the humanities. The two main categories are authors.
The five Nobel Committee members are selected from among the members of the Academy by secret ballot, and each new member has to be approved by the King, who is the Academy's patron. At the moment, the youngest member is 46 years old, and six out of the 18 are women.
The decision is prepared by the Nobel Committee, which is a smaller body within the Academy, and they are doing the groundwork and establishing the shortlist.
There were three stipulations that Alfred Nobel expected the Academy to adhere to when considering the prize candidates.
It should be a work of idealistic bent. It's also said in the testament one should award the greatest work produced the last year or something like that. And it also should be something that fought for the greater good of humanity.
The stipulation that the prize should be awarded to the greatest work of the last year was dropped almost immediately. The idealistic tendency is also ignored because no one can agree on the interpretation.
We had Salman Rushdie here on a visit for a number of years ago, and then we had to install these bulletproof windows. The additional bonus of making the room very hard to eavesdrop from the outside, because the glass, there are several layers of glass and they are very thick.
In the session room, there's seating for 18 people and the king, should he wish to attend. The sessions take place every Thursday, but only 16 people turn up, as the novelist Kerstin Ekman and Knut Arnlund have left the Academy in protest. Following the death threats to Salman Rushdie over his novel The Satanic Verses, Kerstin Ekman left. The literary historian Knut Arnlund had numerous conflicts with the Academy, but he was particularly outraged when Elfriede Jelinek was awarded the prize in 2004, and he tried to give up his seat, which, by the way, you can't. Every year in September, the Nobel Committee sends out invitation letters to between 600 and 700 individuals and organisations that are qualified to nominate. Among them are professors of literature, previous Nobel laureates, and members of academies and institutions that are similar in purpose to the Swedish Academy.
The long list is some 200 names. The short list is five names. And then the mid list is, say, 20.